Welcome, everyone, to Nappy Hour. Dan Dupinsky to my right. Bryce Shadow here playing the role of host to this wonderful podcast. Sponsorship still available. Brought to you by no one yet. So this edition, this podcast, we have a special college basketball edition. Last time we went over the Big Ten tournament. This time, use that one as just a little bit of a warm-up. Going to go for the entire, for the big thing, for the entire national men's college basketball tournament. Going to break down the entire first round. Dan, just kick things off here, get everybody warmed up to the idea. Louisville, Kansas, Indiana, Gonzaga, the four number one seeds. Your take on that, kind of what I anticipated as far as that goes. I did think, though, that there's more of a chance for two Big Ten teams to have number one seeds.
Well, personally, I was kind of upset that Gonzaga didn't get the number one overall seed. I just think it's because they didn't play in the last week and everyone kind of forgot about them out there and out there in Washington. But I mean, they might be the best fourth number one of all time.
You think?
I mean, call me crazy, but yeah.
I mean, I do think it is interesting that you can have, you know, them as the number one seed, you know, a week before the brackets come out, and they've already won their conference championship, and they get the last number one seed. I think that's interesting in itself. You know, the AP versus the bracket, right. The tournament rankings.
And people say they haven't played anyone good, but I mean they've got strong wins. They won against Kansas State at Kansas State. They beat, they lost to Butler on the road by one. Always a tough place to play. Hinkle Fieldhouse. Beat Illinois. Beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State. So that's two tough Big 12 wins on the road, essentially, for Gonzaga. I just thought they did what they had to do to get that number one overall spot.
So we're going to kind of go through a format of a suggestion as to how you should be filling out your brackets.
You should probably listen to us. We're going to have most of this stuff.
There's some pretty good insight to follow. We've already, you know, due to trying to keep this under 30 minutes or so, we've put a handful, the majority of games, as almost we like to call them, quote-unquote, locks. They're games that we're pretty comfortable, pretty confident about. And then there's you know, another handful there. It looks like six or seven games that Dan and I are going to kind of break down and talk a little bit about. They're the ones that are more maybe you don't know so much about. We didn't know so much about to begin with, so we started researching them. Things of that nature. So going ahead with the Midwest region, first region in the bracket, it's pretty straightforward. As far as Dan and I are concerned, you're really not going to see too many upsets, if any, in that region. If you consider a number 9 over an 8 seed an upset, then color it an upset. But otherwise, we have Louisville beating either North Carolina, A&T, or Liberty. And we have Missouri beating Colorado State. Oklahoma State, the 5 seed, beating number 12, Oregon.
Can I just touch on that Oregon seeding for just a second?
Yeah, get on your soapbox.
Oregon won the Pac-12 regular season, won the Pac-12 tournament, are a 12 seed. If you look over here on the bracket, UCLA, who they beat twice, and then again in the conference championship in the tournament, they're a 6 seed. And then you look a little farther down, you got Colorado, who Oregon also beat twice. They're a 10 seed. So for Oregon to be a 12 seed, I think they kind of underrated the Pac-12.
Definitely.
Just a little disrespect for Oregon.
No, I definitely think the seeding's a little off there. You know, and naturally, I think, you know, it's never going to be perfect, obviously, but
and
it is very off.
Committee, did you hear what they said? They said about Oregon. They said we wanted to keep them closer to home. That's why we put them in a 12 seed. So they'll be playing their game in like Kansas City or something.
That's very interesting that you mentioned that, because I was talking with someone off the air a little bit ago about the dynamic of that, about would you rather have a higher seed? You know, does Oregon want the 12 seed, or they rather play farther away and play an easier game? I don't really know.
Valid.
You know, there's that whole home court advantage scenario going on. Regardless of that, neither of us see Oregon beating Oklahoma State.
No, I don't think so.
You like Oklahoma State. I don't like Oregon. Picked them to win the UCLA game last night, the Pac-12 championship game. Watched the entire three quarters of it, from the middle of the first half all the way through the rest.
Up late, staying up late, huh?
Yes, it was a late night, watching all the way through as they were playing in Vegas. But just really did not like either team. They were playing a really sloppy basketball. I compared it to a high school JV game.
There must be some good high school JV teams out there.
You better believe it. Ohio's full of good JV basketball. But the moral of the story is it was very sloppy basketball. Offensive, defensive, rebounding. Rebounding in general was pretty lackluster on both ends. A lot of turnovers. And a lot of points were scored where a guy just tried to man up the other one, put a shot up right over his head, you know, before he can expect it or contest it. And it would go in a little lucky in some scenarios. Some of them were true talent, but some of them, they were some ill-advised shots, and I was surprised that they fell. Either way, we don't see Oregon, the Pac-12 champs of last night, going on any further.
I really like Oklahoma State, but we'll talk about that in
a minute. We'll get to that in the coming days, in due time. St. Louis, we have 4 seed over New Mexico State, the 13 seed. Memphis should take care of business over Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's. Whoever they get matched up with there, we're pretty confident Memphis can take care of business. 31 season for Memphis. Michigan State, the 3 seed over Valpo, the Horizon League champs. Creighton, the 7 seed over 10 seed University of Cincinnati. And Duke over Albany, New York, who were wearing some pretty fly purple Air Jordan jerseys the other night, though will not help them as Duke, Duke should win that one.
They should.
Last year,
if you remember, Duke was a 2 seed and lost in the first round.
This is true. So who knows what kind of fate they have there. Looks Duke has been pretty comfortable at that number 2 spot for quite some time. They seem to be fitting into that role
very well. With Ryan Kelly back for the tournament makes a lot of difference. They did just lose to Maryland in the ACC tournament, but, I mean, that's kind of a big rivalry over there in ACC country.
Yeah.
Even if it's only for one more year.
Going big time.
I mean, Maryland beat them. I don't think they should worry too much about that since they're at 2 seed and looking good in the tournament right now.
Going to head to the South region now, moving. It would be the northeast part of your bracket, even though it is the South region.
Moving clockwise.
In the country, moving most clockwise around the bracket. Little less secure picks here, I guess we have. Fewer locks for us. We both agree Kansas. I'm going to take care of Western Kentucky, the 16 seed. And both kind of torn on North Carolina, Villanova. I haven't been a fan of North Carolina, what I've seen this season. So by default, I kind of want to pick Villanova. Similar situation to the Oregon-Oklahoma State thing, except we have more, I think, equal talent teams here.
Right, I think North Carolina, they're really coming together, really gelling. They've been playing a lot better second half of the season than they started out. They started out, people were talking, they weren't going to make the tournament. Eventually they get in as an 8 seed. I think they're really coming together, gelling together. ACC tournament only helped them, even though their starting point guard, P.J. Hairston, did injure his hand. I guess a ball got jammed up inside his finger and kind of tore the webbing of his fingers. He had to get stitches, but came back, looked strong when they eventually lost to Miami just earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with them back all healthy, all playing together and playing well, that they have been in the last half of the season, I think they'll get by Villanova in that one.
Fair enough on that end. Either way, with the 8 or 9 seed, I mean, whoever wins that game is going to have to face Kansas, and I think both of us have Kansas beating whoever makes it that far. Moving on to Virginia Commonwealth and Akron. Now, here's an interesting matchup. Virginia Commonwealth with a 5 seed. That's a pretty high seed for VCU. Akron at the 12 seed. Akron been playing pretty good ball all season long. Won the regular season and won the tournament title there as far as the MAC is concerned, beating Ohio University for the title. I have Virginia Commonwealth in this one, although I've liked Akron for most of the season. And you have to travel only to GoZips.com to find a nice little article previewing the basketball game between Akron and Virginia Commonwealth. And the money line that we found in here was that Virginia Commonwealth head coach Shaka Smart, which rang a bell originally as a name as I read that, and it was because he was an assistant coach for the Zips from 2003 to 2006, including 2 seasons under head coach Keith Dambrot. Akron's 0-6 all-time against Virginia Commonwealth, with Dambrot and Smart having faced off twice.
Yeah, obviously he's been a tournament staple the last couple of years, obviously with that magical Cinderella run a couple years ago to the Final Four.
And that's the funny part, because they were the ever-proclaimed 12 seed always beating the 5 seed.
Right.
Now it's the other way around. They're the 5 seed having to face Akron, the 12 seed. And usually that's everyone's favorite, 5-12, is everyone's favorite upset to pick.
Actually, pick that.
And a lot of people are probably going to pick Akron in this game because they're a good team. And even after losing their point guard to some drug-related issues and the law in general, you know, they played.
That always gets to the law.
They did play good basketball without him, though, and they managed very well. But I think Virginia Commonwealth, the better team here. I don't get upset happy in your brackets. That's one of my big rules that I try to follow.
This year, you never know.
This year, there's so much parity. It's really unparalleled. But my point is, I don't think you need to go out looking for upsets. Let them come as they come. If you're picking only the top seeds in every game, obviously you're going to be wrong. The top seed has never won every game. Your bracket, by the way, is never going to be completely all the way through correct. You are going to be wrong in some regards. So
I'm looking at mine over here. It's looking pretty good.
But
here's an interesting
regardless.
About VCU, 12 forced steals a game. Forced 12 steals a game, and that's before the dumb turnovers, the passing mistakes by the other team, because of their pressing and their athleticism. And I mean, I was watching their game today, and they substitute five guys at a time and just keep running up and down the court. So they just never get tired.
So Virginia Commonwealth, we're taking over Akron. A part of me wants to take Akron, but we're going to take Virginia Commonwealth. We're both going to be pretty confident in that pick as well. Michigan and South Dakota State, the next matchup.
Interesting.
And Dan, you have a little tidbit. I know you've been talking about a point guard. I think out of San Diego or South Dakota State, rather. Even though both of us have Michigan winning that game.
Yeah, I think Michigan's gonna win that game. I mean, I'm not gonna say pretty handily, but
pretty handily.
Two point guards that were both Player of the Years in their conferences. Trey Burke, obviously from Michigan, averaging 19.2 points per game. Player of the Year in the Big Ten. And then Nate Walters, point guard from South Dakota State, averaging 22.7 points per game. So one of the few point guards in the nation that does score more than Trey Burke. And really, he's the leader of that team. He was the Player of the Year in the Summit League. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. Nate Walters, kind of a bigger point guard. I think he's 6'5 out there. Can shoot, too. I mean, he's a better shooter than Trey Burke. So.
And without Michigan's schedule in front of me, I feel like they've been a team that definitely played better, more so in the front end of the schedule, in the middle maybe, than the middle to later end of the schedule. I mean, they're still a very good ball club there, but I just feel like they were playing their best basketball more towards the front end of the season, which, you know, could spell a little mystery there with a high-scoring point guard, but you're definitely going to have to be a team effort out of South Dakota State if they want to pull that upset.
All right, I think a lot of it is just teams got familiar with what Michigan was trying to do. Setting the high ball screen for Trey Burke coming down, kicking out Tim Hardaway Jr., usually hitting that three. I mean, once you face teams enough, you're going to expect that's coming, especially in the Big Ten. That was all the talk today in the championship game, that Big Ten teams were just relieved for the tournament to start, so they didn't have to battle it out with another Big Ten team.
Quit beating up on each other. Speaking of the Big Ten, that's our next matchup as well. UCLA, Minnesota. UCLA 6-seed, Minnesota the 11-seed. Now, Minnesota 20-12 overall record. I've liked it from the beginning. I think I've watched half of one of their games all season long. And for whatever reason, they've been a dark horse pick of mine for most of the year. And then I mentioned watching the UCLA-Oregon game last night, just supremely not impressed with really either of those teams. I got Minnesota in this one, and I'm pretty sure you do too.
I do. Dre Holland's the point guard. Trevor Mbakwe, the big guy down low. I don't think UCLA can guard them, especially with their second leading scorer, Jordan Adams, breaking a bone in his foot yesterday, or 2 days ago, in the Pac-12 semifinal. So that could have been why we were watching such bad basketball yesterday. Jordan Adams was averaging 15.3 points per game. But good news is they've got Shabazz Muhammad and Kyle Anderson. They're two other superstar freshmen, big three, if you want to throw that term out there. But without Adams, he does a lot on the boards, too, for being a guard. Without Adams, I don't think they're going to get by Minnesota, who's a proven team, especially playing in conference like the Big Ten.
The cool part about this game that I like is kind of the entire aspect. It really relates to every game that we're going to see throughout this entire tournament. It's going to be a couple of great weeks of basketball because you're going to see a lot of games, like we're talking about Michigan and South Dakota State. South Dakota State has an incredible point guard who might be able to, you know, he might be an X factor in that one, a game changer. And might make that game a lot closer than it should be, maybe even pull out a crazy upset, which a lot of people might get angry that they're number 4 seed Michigan because of the bracket, because they would lose. But you still have to appreciate the dynamic of that, that you know that a team like that has such a chance. And I think we see that Just another interesting point here, talking about the strength of the Big Ten, Minnesota-UCLA, we got Minnesota at a middle-tier Big Ten team, right, coming in as an 11 seed in the tournament. UCLA, they lost in the conference championship game to Oregon, so you call them the number two in the Pac-12. They're at a 6 seed. So this is a game where you're going to get to see, you know, just another cool outside aspect of, you know, how strong the Big Ten is. Can a middle to lower tier, if you want to call them that, I'll stick with solid middle tier Big Ten team in Minnesota, can they compete with a higher level Pac-12? I feel like that game could give you a great gauge on how strong the Big Ten is, or kind of, you know, how they can compare themselves to the other conferences, because they've definitely had the spotlight on them all year long, I feel.
Right, and UCLA definitely lost a seed when Jordan Adams did go out with that broken foot, because you never know what's going to happen in the Pac-12 championship game against Oregon. UCLA, not as much disrespect shown there as they did to Oregon, but should be a good one, like you're saying.
Rest of that bracket down there, Florida, number 3 seed, over Northwestern State, the 14 seed. San Diego State, we both have over Oklahoma, 7 versus 10 seed there, San Diego State 7. And Georgetown, the 2 seed, over 15 seeded Florida Gulf Coast. Pretty confident in that bottom half of the South bracket.
Florida Gulf Coast, first trip of the tournament this year, so never know how nerves are going to play.
Finally dancing. We'll see if the Hoyas make that see how they react to the RSVP that Gulf Coast gives to the Nance. Indiana moving to the East Division, if you want to call it that, East Region of the bracket. We have Indiana, the number 1 seed. We both have them winning their first game, whether it be over LIU Brooklyn or JMU.
That's James Madison.
James Madison for those playing at home. Pretty confident Indiana, been a pretty good team all year long. NC State Temple, the 8-9 seed, the winner of that will face Indiana. Well, the winner of the Indiana game, but most likely Indiana. Your take on the NC State Temple game? I've heard good things out of NC State. I've heard good things out of Temple. Haven't been able to research or watch either of them a whole lot, but I know you're huge at Temple.
Temple, big favorite of mine. But we'll focus on NC State first here. They've got 5 guys. All 5 starters are averaging over 12 points per game, with C.J. Leslie averaging 14.9. And here, I think, is the X factor for NC State. Scott Wood, essentially a 3-point specialist, plays good defense, averaging 12.7 points per game and shooting 44% from 3. If he can get going, if he can hit his shots, there should be no competition there. But moving over to Temple, they've got as good a wins as anyone in the country. But then you look to their loss, and they've got as bad a losses as anyone in the country, too. Beat Villanova, Syracuse, St. Louis, VCU, and LaSalle. Those are all tournament teams. They lost to Duke, Kansas, and Butler. Their strength of schedule, I think, was high 20s, and I looked at that earlier. But then you look at the bad losses. You got Duquesne, who 229th in the RPI. You got St. Bonaventure. You got Kinesis and UMass, who they lost to in the Atlantic 10 tournament. They were the 10 seed. Temple, of course, the 3 seed. Well, I'm going to throw out a name here. You can either throw it back or you can roll with it there. Khalif Wyatt, averaging 19.8 points per game and 3 assists and 4 rebounds. He's a scoring machine. He just knows how to put the ball in the basket. I've watched him probably 8 games this year because I got nothing else to do. watched him a ton this year. And he, when that team is down, I know he had 33 against Syracuse when they beat him, which I won't get started on the Temple-Syracuse matchup yet. In the second round, we're going to see, but could beat him for a second time this year. But I like Temple. I like their depth. They've got, I think, 4 guys that are averaging double-digit points. They are, I think it was like 14th in the country in scoring, averaging mid-70s in the points there, so I really like Temple. I'm high on this Temple team.
I like Temple as well. Regarding what you're saying, I'm going to go ahead and roll with it. I really do. I do really like what you have in Temple. I think it's unfortunate that they're going to have to face Indiana, because that's a huge tough game right from the get-go. Yeah, I mean,
they show up for big games. I'm not too worried about it.
That is true. Beating Syracuse,
at the Garden,
in Madison Square Garden in New York. It's they come to play in the big games. And I think eventually when I finally waver down on this one, look it up myself, I think I'm going to go ahead with Temple as well. Second round matchup, Temple versus Indiana. I think that's going to be an excellent game to watch. Have you played in Dayton? So who knows? Maybe we roll on down there. Only about a 2-hour drive.
We're gonna do a live podcast from that game.
We'll see what we could do with that. Who knows? Maybe get somebody on the air afterwards. Get a little Khalif Wyatt action. Anyway, back to the real world. Moving down the bracket, UNLV, the 5 seed, beating 12 seed California.
And that's a matchup earlier in the year. They played one of the first weekends of the year, and UNLV did take that game. But that was a point of emphasis from. I was watching the selection show. They were asking the committee president why they would schedule that game since they did play earlier in the year, and they try to avoid that in the first round matchups.
I believe that game will be played in San Jose.
Right.
So California with a slight, Berkeley there, a slight travel advantage, I guess, over them. And then you have Syracuse against Montana, although Montana with the huge travel advantage to San Jose than Syracuse has. Both of us taking Syracuse to be Sweet 16s, actually, in this one.
Right.
Moving lower into the bracket, this is where things get interesting. Butler versus Bucknell. Butler the 6 seed, Bucknell the 11. Butler coming in at 26-8, and Bucknell 28-5. We were talking a little bit before we started recording here about how Butler's really been a hot and cold team. Couldn't really figure out how to decipher them. I mean, we mentioned, I don't know if we did mention this, but, you know, beating Gonzaga, beating Indiana, beating North Carolina back earlier in the year when they were ranked number 9, even though you did say you think they've been beginning to gel and play better now later on in the year. Lost to Virginia Commonwealth 84-52, talking to them a lot. Lost to St. Louis, lost to Charlotte, lost to St. Louis again in the tournament. No, was that in the tournament?
Yeah,
it was in the tournament. Yeah. So they do have very interesting and varying degrees of wins and losses, beating Marquette by a point, so losing to Illinois by 15. So that, you know, there's plenty of teams that they can beat. You know, there's higher quality teams they beat, and like Temple, you know, there's a lot of lower quality teams they've lost to that, you know, really doesn't help a whole lot in deciphering the Butler team, really at all, I guess.
But yeah, you talk about them beating Indiana too early in the year. Crossroads Shootout, I believe it's called, held there in Indianapolis, so neutral court, but still a pretty large W over what was then the number one team in the country.
Bucknell, really kind of a similar story, you know, fair share of wins and losses against reputable teams and against bad teams, but really against much lower level tier teams. You know, they really haven't seen the big level competition. And I think when all said and done, Butler is getting written on that line to win that game against Bucknell.
That's what I got.
Moving lower, we have number 3-seeded Marquette against 14-seeded Davidson. Now, Davidson, a little curry in the recipe, was quite the quite the mess in some brackets not too long ago, but really not going to be helping themselves at all this season. I believe Marquette gets this one handily. I think we both have Marquette down.
Yep.
Davidson, 38th in points per game in the country, 212th in rebounds per game. They are 0-3 versus the top 50 in the nation, 1-0 against the top teams, fifth-ranked 51st through 100. So that's only 4 games they've played against teams inside the top 100, which I think is the biggest kind of factor there. Where Marquette, you know, playing in the Big East, they just have constant competition all season long.
I'm not sure what to say about that matchup. You covered all of it.
Illinois, 7 seed, going to take care of business against Colorado, the 10 seed. We were talking a little bit in that Pac-12 storyline, I believe, there.
Yep.
And then Miami going to beat Pacific. Miami, the 2 seed, 27-6 on the year. We both have them picked to beat Pacific 22-12 on the season. Moving to our last portion, and we got about 5.5 minutes to do so here. Pittsburgh, Wichita, the game we're going to look at as we see Gonzaga going to beat Southern pretty handily. We both believe there. Pittsburgh and Wichita, this is an interesting matchup. You know, on the surface, you may be inclined to pick Wichita State, the 9 seed. This might be one of those forced underdogs that you want to take to win this game. Wichita State lost to Indiana State 68-55 earlier this season. Indiana State was 18-14 and 9-9 inside the ever-so-powerful Missouri Valley Conference.
Right.
Wichita State with a 37 RPI ranking versus Creighton this year, who is a comparable team inside tournament this season. Creighton at a number 7 seed. in the Midwest region of the bracket. Creighton, they went 1-2 against them. They won by 3 points, lost by 3 points, and lost by 12. The loss of 3 points the second time, or the one loss of 3 points, came in the conference championship, the third time that they played them. So maybe a little, you know, factor there of, you know, big time game, a little predetermined stage action there. You know, is this really can they handle the big stage, I guess, against Creighton above all people in their conference championship? Pitt is 3-2 versus RPI ranked teams that are 1 through 50, and Wichita State at 37 naturally falls within there. So Pitt, a 3-2 record against them. Pittsburgh, I really wasn't high on them until I started getting into the numbers. I became pretty much a stat freak. Dove into the Panthers numbers there.
Well, definitely used to playing in big games too.
Playing in the Big East.
Played Madison Square Garden a couple.
Exactly. You get the city boy and the country girl, and they, you know, how do they mesh in this game? You give Pittsburgh 3-5 against AP top 25 ranked teams, Georgetown, Syracuse, and Cincinnati. Their three wins. Seems like everybody's been beating up on Syracuse in the regular season. Right. Pittsburgh 43rd RPI ranking, Wichita 37. So pretty good 8-9 seed there as far as RPI goes. If you're going to compare those, Pittsburgh 4-7 versus number one through 50 ranked teams, 5-0 versus 51 through 100, and they are 20-1. This was my big stat here. 20-1 record versus teams with a number 50 or higher ranking. So, you know, Wichita State, not a 50 or higher ranking. Probably not going to see too many teams in the tournament, if at all, really, in their position, that are over a 50 RPI ranking in the country. But at 20-1, it shows me they're a team that can get prepared for a game and take care of business the way you have to do against 50 or higher ranked teams.
All right, but I'm already looking ahead here after you've convinced me how good Pittsburgh is for this Pitt Gonzaga matchup, but I don't dive into that one until tomorrow.
We're gonna wait on that one. Yeah. I think round two podcast is gonna be just as fun as this round one is.
Aren't they all?
That is true. We're gonna go ahead and keep things moving. Only a couple minutes here to spare. Gonna try and wrap this up all with under 30 minutes. Wisconsin, we both have the 5 seed taking over number 12 Ole Miss again. I don't think either of us have a 12 seed beating a 5 seed in this tournament. Actually, I'm pretty high on all the 5 seeds over the 12 seeds as far as that's concerned. So much for that theory of underdogness.
Yeah.
Kansas State, number 4, over Boise State or LaSalle, whoever wins that play-in game. We don't have any play-in game winners going past one win, if you include the play-in game in Dayton. And then moving lower in the bracket, we have Arizona-Belmont, both of us taking 60 to Arizona over 11-seeded Belmont. Then we got a pair of interesting games. The other one we're sure about there in the West is Ohio State over Iona. Ohio State, of course, at the number 2 seed. Iona at the 15. Dan, we'll start with you. Notre Dame, Iowa State. I think we both have Iowa State in this one, but why?
Well, a lot of people overlook the Big 12 this season. It's a really good conference if you look at it, especially top to bottom. Iowa State, 4th in the country in scoring at 79.6 points per game, 21st in rebounding, 14th in assists per game, and they're hitting 45% of their shots. Compared to a Notre Dame team, Iowa State's got the upper hand in all those categories. Notre Dame, I think, was 12th in the country in scoring at 76 point something per game. Notre Dame used to playing on a big stage, obviously, in the Big East there. But Notre Dame making 46% of their shots as well. Both are shooting 37% from three, which I think is going to be the deciding factor in this one. But here's a matchup I want you to look at here. Will Clyburn for the Cyclones, 6'7" forward there. And his matchup, he's going to be guarding Jack Cooley. Clyburn is giving up 2 inches to Cooley. Clyburn averaging 2 more points at 15 per game than Cooley's 13.1 points per game. That should be a good matchup, and I want to see how Iowa State guards Garrick Sherman, or if they have anyone to guard Garrick Sherman. That 7-footer there that Notre Dame's got could cause the Cyclones problems.
Although, I don't want to give away too much. I want everyone to tune in to the following podcast. I think you do have, if I can creepily look over your shoulder there, I think you do have Iowa State winning an additional basketball game other than Notre Dame. So
that might be biased. Might be not.
Might be the bias, but
might not be biased. I'm not sure.
I think we're either way. We're both going to have a very entertaining conversation about that in the near future. Last matchup we're going to talk about today in the first round, Harvard, New Mexico. Personally, I think we could talk 15 to 25 to an hour about this matchup right here.
You're on your Ivy League kick right now.
I have been on an Ivy League kick all season long. I've tuned in. NBC Sports Network has done me well with some Ivy League coverage, and I appreciate that coverage very much so.
I mean, if they want to be a sponsor of the show, just put that out there.
Dan Patrick is on the show. I don't see why we can't compete, at least. Give us a five-minute spot. Play the best of this podcast, whatever you want. Either way, we're going to get to the point here. Huge matchup here. New Mexico, you think I'm crazy picking Harvard. I'll tell you right off the bat.
Yep.
I have 19-9 Harvard beating 29-5 Mountain West Conference champs, the New Mexico team there. New Mexico's five losses versus South Dakota State, 70-65. At St. Louis, at San Diego State, at UNLV, at Air Force, 89-88. Air Force, the only team they've lost to that is not in the tournament. Throw the RPI rankings out the window because they're number two because of that in the RPI rankings. A lot of people, as we were talking before the podcast, had New Mexico as a potential one seed in this tournament.
Well, you look at their wins. They've got a ton of good wins. Davidson, UConn, Valpo, New Mexico State. These are all tournament teams, by the way. New Mexico State twice, Cincinnati, UNLV twice, Colorado State twice, Boise State twice, and San Diego State twice. So the win's not an issue, but I think you're focusing more on the losses.
I'm not focusing on the losses. I'm focusing on how good Harvard is.
That's what it is.
Right. New Mexico, to kind of round off the rest of my analysis on them, not too flashy numbers. 172nd in the nation in points per game. 142nd in rebounds per game. But my kicker, which we will get to in just a couple moments, which may be the only real arguing point I have here that Harvard could win this game, 218th in field goal percentage. 218 is New Mexico in field goal percentage. Harvard, the Ivy League as a whole, was 0-6 against top 25 teams this season. Harvard was 0-0. They didn't play a team ranked in the top 25. However, they went 13-1 at home, playing in Salt Lake City, New Mexico, a bit of an advantage. Although Harvard, a lot of money in Harvard, might get some travel planes, who knows, to make the trip. Harvard averaging 68.9 points per game. That's 137, for those of you playing along at home. Better than 172, which is New Mexico's. 334 in rebounds per game. I'll give them that.
Rough.
New Mexico's, again, 142. That is very rough, 334 rebounds per game. I'll tell you why that is right now. 12th in the nation in field goal percentage. They haven't had the opportunity to rebound the basketball nearly as much as New Mexico at 218 field goal percentage. Granted, Harvard undersized, so there's a factor there. But I really do think that has to play in some kind of role, at least 20 to 30 spots, in the nation, at least with a 12th in the nation, shooting 48% from the field, averaging 68.9 points per game, allowing 63.9 points per game. The big one. This is one I love. 40% from three-point land. And in the tournament, that's a big deal, because if you get down or if you get hot, you're not going to get stopped. We saw George Mason do it. We've seen many teams do it in the past. If you get hot from beyond the arc in a tournament, the sky is really the limit. You just got to play some decent defense, and you can go pretty far.
You can even give up twos. Threes are, as many of you know, worth more than twos.
As well, so there's simple math brought to you by Dan Dupinsky. Hitting the 35-minute mark, I got 30 seconds left on this one. Wesley Saunders, player to watch in this one, 16.5 points per game, coming out of L.A., going to Harvard, going to Salt Lake, you might see some more family. So there's your rejuvenation factor. He's going to be motivated. He's going to have his ex-girlfriend in the crowd. It's going to be a great game for Wesley Saunders. By the way, he plays a small forward, guard, hybrid position. 16.5 points per game, 53.6% from the field, 52.6% from three-point land.
Not bad.
That is not bad at all, Mr. Dupinsky. By the way, follow him on Twitter at Wes_good. I think he's at like 400 or 500 followers right now. I mean, which are probably all the Harvard basketball fans, which I might include myself in the near future. I don't know. But watch, if he has a game, if they win this game, his Twitter follower count will be at least 30,000.
I mean, not only that.
At least 30,000 after he drops 25 on New Mexico.
Everyone listening to the show right now, too, all thousands of viewers.
So there's that could get him up to 60,000. There's my plug for Wesley Saunders. Tweeted at him just before we started recording. So through the power of the internet,
got him on the show.
He could be listening.
That's what you should have done.
I will tell you what, though. We will work on that. We will get Wesley Saunders on the show, and we will talk New Mexico Harvard basketball if we get the chance. By all the power in the world. All right. A little longer than promised, 36 minutes. But granted, this is a big show.
Sure, they enjoy it.
Either way, I think we all had a good time tonight. Dan Napinski by my side, giving me great college basketball advice before we go on the show, of course, because I know absolutely nothing compared to the Schwabness of Dan Napinski. Bryce said he was here playing the role of some kind of host during your nappy hour. Again, follow us on Twitter at BCedio, at NappyBoy23, of course, spelled with a K. Thanks for listening.